The Bill Myers Show podcast is sponsored by Clouser Drilling. They've been leading the way in Southern Oregon well drilling for over 50 years. Find out more about them at clouserdrilling.com.
The Bill Myers Show is on 106.3 KMED and 99.3 KCMD.
Once again, another one of those judicial interviews that I hate. Nothing personal about it. I've talked about this before. Every time you talk to someone who's running for being a judge, it's important because we need to talk to them. But there's only certain ways you can go because of judicial ethics. You can't talk about a current case, this and that and the other. And so I invite someone in like Johan Pietila, who is running for Jackson County Circuit Court Judge Seat 9. And we can talk about his workout routine.
Yeah, there you go.
When I called you yesterday, I think you were actually at the gym at that point. But in all seriousness, welcome to the program, Johan.
Thank you so much for having me on.
All right. Tell us a little bit about yourself because you are the current county counselor, one of the – the chief county counsel?
Assistant county counsel.
Assistant county counsel. So Jackson County gets sued, and they're coming to someone like you, and you're there to defend the county.
Correct, yeah. Oh. So I handle almost all the litigation for the county. I represent people like the sheriff, the DA's office, the jail, health, community justice. Anyone who gets sued, I get to step in. And
there's never a lack of people trying to sue the county. That just
they keep me pretty busy.
Yeah, I imagine yeah. So. So why did you want to then go for the judge seat? This is Jackson County Circuit Court, seat 9. This is the one currently held by Judge Orr.
Correct. Okay.
And I'm going to preface this with, it is a big deal when anybody goes and challenges a sitting judge, because everybody within the legal system knows what this means. It's like, if you didn't, then it's going to be kind of like you ever find yourself in court in front of this guy. Oh, you, huh? Everybody knows that. That's just it. So there must be something big going on for you to really go here. What are you thinking?
Yeah. So, backing up a little bit, I've always been drawn to public service. I'm raising my family here. My friends are here. I want to do the best thing I can to help this community. So back in 2018, I was working at the prosecutor's office with Judge Orr. He got elected, and I started thinking, I think I could fill that role. I think I could make sure the right things happen for the right reasons. So I started planning on running for judge back then. In 2020, I realized that I'd been in the criminal law world my entire career, and I wanted to get some civil experience while still, working for the county, still representing the people. So I switched over to the county counsel's office. So senior assistant county counsel since April of 2020, with the idea that way, when I became a candidate for judge, I could have both sides. I could have done criminal work for the county. I could have done civil work for the county. And I could say, look, I'm a well-rounded candidate.
And actually, not a bad idea to have someone that's played both sides, of that game. And what does that bring to you as a judge then? And I think part of this is also set up dissatisfaction with the incumbent. And so what do you think has been done wrong there that you believe that you can do better and maybe a cleanup?
Sure.
Clean up the situation there, huh?
Yeah, and I think that the biggest issue that Judge Orr is facing is in 2021. I didn't have a crystal ball. I didn't know this was going to happen. But in July of 2021, the district attorney's office disqualified him from hearing criminal cases. So he was unable to preside from July of 2021 until what I understand to be maybe last week. They rescinded that order.
And this was kind of done behind the scenes.
That's how I understand it. I haven't seen all the information. I saw a couple press releases last night that spelled it out. I had a concern. As a taxpayer alone, the concern is if you have a judge that can't hear all the types of cases that come before the court.
Yeah. Why? So do we know why the judge was disqualified from holding that?
Yeah. So I hadn't seen the letter that was written until very recently, and it was attached to the press release that I saw last night. But essentially, D.A. Heckert laid out 5 instances where he did not follow the law or where he showed bias, and she felt that the prosecutor's office was not getting a fair trial in front of him, and she was concerned that that would continue to happen. And there were some pretty serious cases that were the one that comes to mind was there was a child sex abuse case where he refused to accept the verdict. And
refused to accept the verdict of a jury?
Of a jury.
Oh.
And so that caused quite a stir, and obviously the DA's office was upset. There were several other cases listed along with that, but so they said, this is not going to work for us.
Was the implication then, and I know, like I said, you're running for this position, but you're the one that you can bring up the dissatisfaction. It's okay.
Yeah.
Is this a situation where the assumption was that the thumb was on the scale of justice too much for the defendant, or undue?
I can't say where the thumb would have been. I would say that you have an issue when there's a law and the judge isn't following it for whatever reason that may be. And I can't speak to what his reasons or motivations were, mm-hmm. but, you know, that's what the problem was. And you know, I have been avoiding bringing this up because I've been running a campaign based on my,
I know, but you know, I have to ask, I'm just like wondering, okay, what's the problem with this guy?
Yeah.
Because, you know, you're saying that you can do a better job. And if so, I want to know, you know, what's the problem there in that office? Yeah. Has that problem been fixed at this point that we know, or?
And who knows? So like I said, I heard that sometime towards the end of last week, there was an order rescinding that disqualification. I would guess that there would be follow-up litigation because it appears that the DA is very upset over this and did not get a hearing, did not get an opportunity to, you know.
So the DA's office is very upset about what's been going on.
Correct,
really
yeah.
Driving this.
Okay. From what I read in the letter from Beth Heckert, it said that, nothing has changed in her mind as to whether or not the state can have a fair trial in front of Judge Orr. So, you know, you have an issue there. And you know, that's the practical matter, right? That's where everyone, I think, is.
How would you, as a judge, avoid that kind of trap or pitfall for whatever reason that the incumbent ended up falling into?
You know, I think the number one job of the judge is to uphold the laws of the state of Oregon, right? Of a circuit court judge, that's your number one job. And if you're not doing that, there's the first pitfall that you shouldn't fall into. It's like we talked about earlier, right? Like it's like the same idea as jury nullification.
Now the jury does technically have that power because the jury's vote is the jury's vote. We know that, right?
But if the jury is making their decision based on sympathy or bias, then you have an issue. Their job is to find the facts and apply the facts that they've found, mm-hmm. you know, to the laws that's given to them by the court. And so that's the role of the jury there, right? So if the judge isn't doing that, then you have a problem too.
Yeah, so you have two people that could be or two agencies then within the court that could be squishy on
sure.
something. Or and like I said, the I'm a believer in jury nullification, skillfully applied for certain things. You know, not the way it was in O.J. Simpson's thing, but
right.
But you know what I'm getting at though is that there are times that that sometimes the judge or that the jury judges the law and not just the fact of the law, and they're the final. They're almost like the final firewall between a really super bad law. Now the judge is not supposed to be that way though, right?
The judge is absolutely supposed to be neutral, and that's. One of the things you have to be prepared for is if you don't like the law as a judge, tough, you don't legislate from the bench. That is not your duty. You do not get to decide what the law should have been and act in that regard.
Okay. But to be fair, though, you have argued both sides of this. So you're looking at this as a complete neutral thing. Do you have a really good poker face? I asked I asked Christine last week about that.
I have a decent poker face. Doesn't mean I'm good at poker.
Okay.
But,
all right.
Yeah.
Good. Sometimes I don't know how the judges can do this with some of the arguments that get put out there. Where do you think there has been a breakdown in the justice system in Jackson County? And what could you, as judge, perhaps do to influence this? And I bring this up as knowing some judges that, in my opinion, have been sort of forced out of the situation. Mm-hmm. And I'm told this is like little birdies things. Nobody will go on the record because nobody wants to, you know, muddy the water, I guess. But there has been a lot of politics controlling how certain judges get resources. I guess I'll just kind of leave it at that. Is there anything you can comment on that?
Yeah, I mean, I think that's one of the most unfortunate things is when politics does get involved. If you feel beholden to a political party or a political candidate for some reason, that's a huge problem.
Has there been a lot of that going on in the courts these last few years during COVID and beyond?
You know, you hear things. I'm not in the inner circle just yet. I'd be very disappointed if judges are making decisions or acting for political reasons. I've been trying absolutely my best to stay completely separate from political parties and from, you know, political leanings.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah, I understand you don't want to get in there, but you may not be interested in politics, but is the politics going to be interested in you? I guess that's where I'm going here. Yeah. The judge is trying to be – is it impossible to be that way? given the politics of the judiciary at these days?
I don't think it's impossible, no. And I think, you know, what's great about Jackson County is we have some young judges coming in. I myself would be one of the younger judges there. And, you know, we want to do this for our career. We don't want to solely that, you know, if I get elected, I'd be 41 when I would take office. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I want to spend my career serving the people of Jackson County. I'm not going to risk that for any political leanings. And, you know, one of the things I pride myself on in my reputation as an attorney is I will be approachable. You will be able to come to me and ask me a question. You will be able to come to me with an idea. You will be able to come to me and say, why did you do this? And I will be able to tell you this is why or this is what I think.
Given that you are in, like I said, have taken both sides of the aisle, depending on what portion of your career you're in, can you talk about a case in which you learned something from a judge that made such an impression on you as why it is important to do the job the way you wish to do this job? So, give me an example of something that comes to mind. Can you? Can you do that?
On the spot, one specific time a judge has, during a case, said something?
Mm-hmm.
Is that?
Yeah, or did something with you in which you really learned the power of a good judge to be able to bring a better outcome.
You know, I don't know if I could say a specific time. I do, Judge Mejia, Judge Cromwell, Judge Hoppe. There's certain judges that I have seen speak to the jury in a way mm-hmm. that it doesn't belittle them. It values their importance. And really just, and like you said, you know, speaking about your jury duty just recently, you know, it is a very important service that civilians are called upon to do that don't get paid anything, you know, pennies. To come and do this very important job and just showing appreciation and respect for the system and for the process, that really resonates with me. I feel like that a judge should exude respect for all aspects of the system, and I take that to heart.
Okay. And you don't believe we're not – when it comes to the politics that has been interfering with the judiciary, all the rumblings behind the scenes and people getting concerned, and, of course, maybe your opponent too – we're nowhere like New York right now. Would you agree that what we're looking at, what's happening in New York right now, would appear to be a totally politicized situation? And whether you like or hate the guy, involved, you know what I'm talking
about? Yeah, of course. Yeah. And, you know, that is going to be a difficult one to keep politics out of. I will say that Jackson County has always impressed me in the way that the majority of people I meet and come into the system or work for various community partners, they care about not only what happens to the community, but how it happens in the community. And it's a great group of people down here. For, you know, the majority of people are very dedicated to the right things happening.
I'm glad to hear that. My experience as a juror was surprising to me. It was much more impressive than I thought it was going to be. And I came away with a much better thought about that. But I don't think I would feel the same way if I was in that New York system right now, because I have to tell you, people really made sure that we understood the rules, that we were not discussing the case,
right,
you know, during the breaks and things like that. And even when we came to vote on the case, we all thought that we were the only one voting for, you know, this one, the one way we did. And because we thought that our fellow jury people, oh, they're probably going to vote this way. And then we found out, oh, we were all on the same page.
Right.
And I was thinking to myself, that was a real example of the professionalism in the Jackson County system.
Yeah.
So I'm glad to hear that you're favoring that. Where is our weakness right now that you want to alleviate, though? What is the weakness in the system? Because even though it's not horrible, it's not perfect. What would you do?
So I think one of the big things would be tying in all the community partners. So obviously, you know, there's some major issues that we have right now, right? We have the fentanyl drug crisis. We have the housing crisis.
We also have the public defender shortage.
That's major, right? And so if you can find a way to be using your position to bring in agencies that have resources, that have time, that have funding, and solving problems in that way, you are doing a good job.
Would increasing pay of public defenders help? Is that the problem, or is it not? I don't know how that's structured.
You know, we've had a lot of debate about this. I think the structure itself has some issues. I think the point system, while I don't have a better option, I'm not a finance guru, but the point system, the way that it's built out, I don't think anyone finds that to be the most effective. And from what I've heard from current public defenders, the task force it's kind of like the traveling nurses, right? They pay these people more to come down here and do it rather than just spread that money out amongst the people who are here dedicated to defending, you know, criminal defense.
But yet the challenge is that the attorneys don't exist, do they?
It's like with any industry, right? We took a hit. People still want to be attorneys, I think. People are still interested in public service as an attorney. But the attorneys will be there. The funding needs to be there for them. But paying a small group of people extra seems like an odd choice to me.
Speaking with Johan Pietila, pietilaforjudge.org. I will, of course, post this all this information. Before we take off, like I said, this is just kind of a preliminary opening arguments, I guess, if you want to call it. We'll have to kind of have you back here, I think, before the ballots drop, and maybe we can dig into more of that. Tell me a little bit about your family, a little bit of that background.
So I was born in Grants Pass. My parents were doing some missionary work. They, on the side to pay for that, they did reforestation projects working with timber companies. Our family started to grow. I've got two younger brothers. So eventually they moved up to Portland, where my great-grandfather, Johan, lived. He was a sheet metal worker. My great-grandmother, Stella, was a teacher. And my dad started a small chimney and masonry business, which he still runs.
You always been down here?
No. So I moved down here after law school. So I was ready to be out of Portland.
Where'd you go to law school?
Willamette.
Willamette, okay.
Yeah. So I loved it. But yeah, I did not know that being an attorney even was on my horizon. I knew I wanted to do something that made me feel good about what I did every day. And I thought I was going to be a chimney sweep or a mason because that's what my dad still does. But yeah, I was the first in the family to go to college.
Son, you get a chance to do some honest work someday.
Oh, I got a lot of chances to do that. I moved a lot of brick. I mixed a lot of mortar. But here we are.
Yeah, if you could... And this is a philosophical question here. We talked a little bit about jury nullification already, but if there is one thing that you, as just within the justice system, could change in it, what would that be? Has anyone ever asked you that? Where and this is kind of like going back to kind of digging into your mindset about where we find our challenges. You talked about some of the challenges that the county is facing already, and you'd still be facing some of that as judge if you're elected.
Yeah. I think the biggest takeaway, so everyone, when they say, I want my day in court, right?
Right.
What do they really mean? I want to know that I've been heard in court. And if they don't feel that way, then they start casting a doubt on the system. And like you said, it does work. When people follow the rules, when people go through and serve their roles, it does work. So I guess the perception that each party has been heard in court and a trust that if people are following what they're supposed to, that the system will work.
Does that go to the point of questioning the system where it seems like the vast majority of cases are decided in plea bargaining rather than actually being heard in court? And then you have a situation where potentially, you could have an overzealous prosecutor pile the charges on and say, hey, I can't defend this. I'm not going to have a public defender take me into this court, that kind of thing.
Yeah, I mean, you have skilled parties on both sides, and public defenders are phenomenal attorneys. I've seen a lot of them. I've gone toe-to-toe with a lot of them down here, and we've got a talented set of attorneys down here. So I haven't seen the overzealous prosecution down here. I think you obviously run that risk. However, I think it happens so infrequently in this area. It's just sensationalized sometimes when it does happen in an obvious way or when someone comes out.
It's the job of the judge then to rein that in when impossible.
Oh, absolutely. And there'll be a lot of, even when you have a negotiated agreement, you'll sit down with the judge and say, this is how we got here. There were mitigating factors. There were extenuating, there's an issue in this person. Despite this being a lower level, we are going after them for this, and that. And there's a dangerous offender or something to that effect.
Is it often that judges reject plea deals? Does it happen often?
It doesn't happen often, and it does happen.
Do you think it should happen more, perhaps?
I mean, you can bind a judge before you enter a plea. You can say you're bound to this negotiation.
Oh.
That doesn't happen very often either, but you can do it. I'd say down here, I don't think it needs to happen more because, like I said, we've got a collegiate bar or a collegial bar that works together and understands the importance of settling cases out of court because we don't want to tie up, the limited resources with cases that could have just resolved for the same.
That could have been resolved. Yeah. As long as everyone's truly So you're not really seeing that problem where people that may actually have a good case if it were to go to trial to jury are unduly pressured by the system to cut a deal or else.
I wasn't seeing that when I was at the prosecutor's office. I was about 4 years ago, so hopefully nothing has changed. I was always very happy to hear that.
Hopefully yeah. The 4 years, it's still the same there. That's going to be talking to the district attorney candidates.
I hope you do. Yeah, that's a great
race.
For that
one, okay? Yeah. I appreciate that. Hey, Johan, we appreciate you coming in here. It is pietalaforjudge.org, pietalaforjudge.org, and I will put all this up. We'll have you back. I appreciate you taking a break and coming in here, and we'll have you back for sure.
Thank you so much.
All right, very good. It is 8:31.
Johnson Builders will be at the Southern Oregon Home Show Friday through Sunday, May 3rd through the 5th. And they're looking forward to talking to you about your property and the building you need. Garages, shops, barns, residential. There's no limit with Johnson Builders' affordable post and frame construction expertise. Explore the possibilities at the Southern Oregon Home Show. Or if you can't wait to get special home show pricing right now, visit Johnson.Builders and give them a call.
Johnson Builders, building for your future.
Freedom, prosperity, safety. These are some of the values that made Oregon great. Dr. Noah Robinson will work to preserve our treasured Oregon values.
As your state senator, I'll stand up to the Democrats and lobbyists in Salem, continuing the fight for your parental rights, promoting limited government, and protecting unborn lives.
Conservative, principled, independent. Vote Noah Robinson for Oregon Senate. Paid for by Noah Robinson for Oregon Senate. ID 23412.
Hi, it's John at Welburn's Weapons. The only thing better than shooting is shooting with a suppressor. Welburn's is Southern Oregon's suppressor headquarters, stocking models from Silencer Code, Dead Air, Griffin Armament, Rugged, Q, Thunderbeast, and many more. And we can order practically any suppressor on the market. Check in with us for monthly incentives to save on suppressors, too. Come see the suppressor experts. Welburn's Weapons on Crater Lake Highway, just south of White City.
Voting is in progress for Bicoastal Media's Best of Southern Oregon contest, presented by Dusty's Transmissions. Go to bestofsouthernoregon.com and vote on over 1,000 businesses that were nominated in nearly 200 categories. You're able to vote for all your favorites once per day. So visit bestofsouthernoregon.com and help the best suppliers of goods and services win the gold and silver medals by voting every day through Wednesday, April 24th at 5 p.m. Good luck to all those nominated from Dusty's Transmissions and Bicoastal Media.
News is sponsored by Valley View Nursery, your only nursery with online pricing. Visit valleyviewnursery.com. They're closer than you think.
Good morning. I'm Natalie Serna with your NBC5 Morning News Update. Community members and shelter volunteers will be holding a forum to discuss the future of the Jackson County Animal Shelter. The forum will be at 5:30 tonight at the Medford Library. The public forum is being organized by private citizens hoping to discuss the current conditions of the Jackson County Animal Shelter, as well as possible solutions other than the county's idea of creating an animal shelter service district. Then the city of Grants Pass and the family of a man who was shot and killed by police have reached a settlement in a wrongful death lawsuit. Attorneys on both sides negotiated a $3 million settlement for the family of 48-year-old Mark Caldwell. Caldwell was shot and killed at his home in December of 2022, while police were searching for a suspect in his West Holm Avenue neighborhood. A grand jury ruled the shooting was justified, saying Caldwell was armed when he was shot. Then Providence Medical Center in Portland is extending its medical waste recycling program to Medford. Starting May 9th, Medford's Providence facilities will be adopting a new way to dispose of their medical waste. In partnership with one of their medical supply companies, the hospital will have bags of recycling picked up during their shipments, which will then be hand-sorted up in Portland. For local news anytime, head on over to our website, KOBI5.com. That's a look at your morning headlines. For NBC5 News, I'm Natalie Serna.
This hour of the Bill Myers Show is brought to you by Johnson Builders, Southern Oregon's leading authority on post-frame and steel buildings for over 20 years.
Hi, this is Bill Meyer, and I'm with Charisse from No Wires Now, your Dish Premier local retailer. It's time to switch to Dish.
If you have DirecTV or cable TV, call me today to see how I can save you money. Plus, I'll lower your internet and cell phone bills.
And those offers in the mail from Dish, you can go go through no wires now for those.
Call me at 541-680-5875.
Call Charisse like I did or visit their showroom off Biddle Road in Medford. NoWiresNow.com. Restrictions apply. Call for details. Internet and cell phone service not provided by Dish.
Did you know that Good Guys Guns, the Valley's firearms leader, offers layaway plans to fit every budget? Good Guys has a large inventory of new and used firearms with the lowest prices in town. And Good Guys pays the background fee for you. Would you like to have your concealed handgun license? Give Good Guys Guns a call and sign up for their May 4th class. The 4-hour Saturday class will give you the knowledge to carry with confidence. Good Guys Guns, 4934 Crater Lake Avenue.
Good Guys Guns.
With so many working and doing business from home, it's good to know there's a community business center to help. A Street Print and Parcel is a one-stop shop for everything from large format printing and scanning to blueprints, architectural plans, and shipping. Their Studio 10 expansion offers passport photos, photo mounting, fine art scanning, art reproductions, signs and banners, negative and slide scanning, canvas prints, and so much more. Located in Ashland on A Street across from Ashland Hardware. Their motto, we create it, print it, pack it, and ship it. A Street Print and Parcel and Studio 10.
Freedom, prosperity, safety. These are some of the values that made Oregon great. Dr. Noah Robinson will work to preserve our treasured Oregon values.
As your state senator, I'll stand up to the Democrats and lobbyists in Salem, continuing the fight for your parental rights, promoting limited government, and protecting unborn lives.
Conservative, principled, independent. Vote Noah Robinson for Oregon Senate. Paid for by Noah Robinson for Oregon Senate. ID 23412.
1063 KMED, 99.3 KCMD. And this is the Bill Myers Show.
Very proud to speak with Trevor Loudon. And Trevor Loudon is an author, filmmaker, public speaker from Christchurch, New Zealand. He's hanging out in Florida, I think, at the moment, or traveling around the country. And he will be one of the featured speakers this Saturday at the Patriots Conference in Josephine County. In fact, you'll be speaking a couple of slots after me, and I'm really looking forward to finding out more about you, Trevor. Welcome to the program. Good morning, sir.
Well, thanks very much, Bill, and looking forward to meeting you on Saturday.
Yeah, the part I find interesting is that when I first did a search, I will confess, when Holly Morton was telling me about you, I was not really familiar as much with you as I should, and I'm a little embarrassed to admit that now, because I'm looking at you, and when I look it up, and the first thing I do is I search Trevor Loudon, and the first thing that comes up on Wikipedia, conspiracy theorist, and I'm thinking, oh. In other words, Trevor's paying attention to what's...
Yeah, well, that's right. That's a badge of honor these days, isn't it?
Yeah, all right. And do you still live in New Zealand? Because given what happened in the COVID time there, I couldn't think of a greater tyranny to live through than what was happening a lot of the time in New Zealand and in Australia. Yeah. What was your experience there, if you don't mind?
Well, look, I don't. I live in Florida now. My wife is American, but, you know, I have a lot of, obviously, I go back to New Zealand regularly. And, you know, during the COVID, we had a Marxist Prime Minister, Jacinda Ardern, who basically followed the Chinese communist line, you know, which was lockdowns, masks, vaccines, to the extreme. You know, she said publicly that don't listen to the internet when it comes to COVID. The government should be your only source of truth.
Oh, goodness.
And so this is what we had in New Zealand for some time. But what my argument is this, is all of the countries around the world and all the states that had the worst lockdowns, and that includes Oregon and California and Washington, they're all the states that had the most Chinese communist influence. And so the Chinese basically gave us the disease, then they used their unions and subservient politicians to enforce the harshest possible lockdowns to do the maximum damage to the economy. So it was really a form of biological warfare followed by political warfare to really wreak havoc in the West.
And an ideological subversion too, and depressing of a formerly free people. Would you go so far as to call it that?
Oh, look, absolutely. You know, it was all about fear, and it was to drive people apart. It was to drive to intimidate conservatives, to intimidate anybody who stood against the regime. You know, it was Chinese mass line politics. There was only going to be one solution to COVID. You couldn't talk about ivermectin or hydroxychloroquine or vitamin D or herd immunity. It was going to follow the Chinese model, which is masks, lockdowns, and vaccines. So we lived for 2.5 years under Chinese mass line politics, enforced by our own unions and our own politicians. We got a taste of Chinese communism for a couple of years.
Why do you think we were so susceptible to collapsing to Chinese-style communism, if you want to call it, almost like market force-based communism in the United States?
Why were we so open
and subject to that?
Well, because, you know, we have a situation now where most of our social media and most of our mass media is also dominated by the Chinese, as is Hollywood, as is sport, you know, through Nike. So we had this big enforcement mechanism, you know, Facebook and Twitter, who are following the line. You know, they are all companies that do a lot of business with China and want to please China to get access to Chinese markets. So they were willing to enforce the Chinese narrative for their masters in Beijing. So really, the game was to instill as much fear as possible, to shut down all alternative narratives and drive the Chinese narrative, which was designed to intimidate, cause cognitive dissonance, and to basically wreck the economy. That was what it was all about. It was a psyop, a biological attack followed by a political and psychological operation. And we still haven't recovered from it fully yet. And now the World Health Organization is about to get powers given to them by Biden, which would grant the World Health Organization, which is completely controlled by China, complete control over our response to any future pandemic or health emergency. And a health emergency to the World Health Organization can mean guns in America. It can mean transphobia. It doesn't even have to be a biological disease. So we're on the verge of the greatest power grab in history, really, to cede America's sovereignty in so many areas to the World Health Organization.
Trevor, do you believe most Americans are asleep to this fact? Or are still kind of, you know, they watch their television and, the United States, the form is still here, although the behavior of the form seems to be very different. You yourself say that your thesis is what we think of as mainstream politics is really driven by hidden subversion. Do you not?
Yeah, well, what I write books about this, and I have my books there. I write. What we're in America is a socialist revolution, and the enemy has penetrated the Congress and the Senate to a huge degree. If you look at the backgrounds, and I write about them, if you look at the backgrounds of Jeff Merkley and Ron Wyden, both have extreme Marxist backgrounds. But how many Oregonians would know that? You know, Peter DeFazio, I know he's not there anymore, but he was the same, and his replacement is also deeply connected to Marxist groups like Democratic Socialists of America. So is Earl Blumenauer, who is thankfully standing down. But his replacement will be just as bad. Now, I know you've got Jamie Skinner running for a seat in Oregon right now.
Yeah.
She is extensively involved in Marxist organizations. But how many Oregon voters know that? They just think they're voting for a Democrat. So what has happened is the Marxist groups have so deeply penetrated the Democratic Party that they can enforce their policies. You know, Obamacare came out of the Marxist groups and was enforced through the Democratic Party. Most of the environmental policies that have decimated the economy of Southern Oregon, you know, when you used to be able to log your timber and things like that. And so that's all driven by Marxists. You know, we need to understand the most policies that come out of the Democratic Party come from the Marxist communist movement. They are, the Democratic Party is the implement now for enforcing the Marxist policies. And the Republicans have very little clue of this.
What is it? Has anything pierced?
Complicit.
Yeah, Trevor, has anything pierced? You talk about the piercing of Marxism in the Democratic Party. Can't disagree with that at all. What, if anything, has pierced the Republican Party to be such a go-along, get-along group, for the most part, both at the state and national level, federal level?
Well, you know, there's various levels of infiltration, but at the top you've got the influence of Wall Street, which has got a huge influence on the Republican Party. It's got influence on both parties. So, but what they do, see, Wall Street wants to make money with China. Wall Street is basically controlled by China now. So they will not fund politicians who want to take a stand against China. They will. That's why they wouldn't support President Trump, because he was opposed to Chinese influence. And that's why they work to support people like Joe Biden, who is in China's pocket. So that happens at the high level. And then on the Republican Party, you've also got Mitch McConnell, whose family has made billions carrying goods around the world for communist China, and does everything he can to sabotage President Trump and MAGA candidates because they oppose China. So you've got the money influence in the Republican Party and the money influence and the ideological influence in the Democratic Party. You know, Ratcliffe, who was Trump's intelligence advisor, said 3 years ago that the Chinese now own so many U.S. Congress members they could determine which legislation passes Congress and which doesn't. And that should be a shock to any American, whether you're Republican, Democrat, Libertarian, Independent, whatever. You know, that's not what we want.
And here you are, Trevor, now living in the United States. Did you move here with the knowledge that we were being infiltrated at that time and were hoping to help? Or was it just the fact that, you're married to an American citizen?
No. My wife and I met through the politics. No, I absolutely moved here because, I did a lot of the initial research on Obama. I identified way back in 2007, I identified Obama's mentorship by the Hawaiian communist Frank Marshall Davis. I exposed Obama's green jobs, Van Jones, and Glenn Beck used my information to get him thrown out of the White House. Glenn used to use a lot of my stuff on his original chalkboards. And he acknowledges that. I'm not making that up. That's right. He'll say that publicly. So, no, I moved here because I thought, look, if America goes down, every other country is done. You know, the Chinese would have New Zealand in a heartbeat, would only take a phone call. So America is like the tent pole that holds up the free world. And they are working to cut that tent pole to collapse the whole free world right now. And we're not far away. They've got it sorted about three quarters of the way through. And they're on the final strokes. And we got to strengthen America. If I want to save New Zealand, we got to all help save America. That's the number one task for any freedom lover right now.
Yeah, my concern is, can America save itself at this moment? And will elections in the current situation potentially solve some of that at this point in time? What do you think, Trevor?
Yeah, I do not think it's too late for that. And we all understand that there's cheating involved. I know you're not allowed to say that, of course, Bill, but
you're allowed to say it. It's okay.
Yeah,
all right.
We all understand that. But look, I read the left's materials. I read the left all the time, 10 hours a day, and they are freaking out about the fact that they think Trump is probably going to win this. But they're still encouraging these narratives that, to keep people away from the polls. A lot of this vote fraud narrative, although there's absolutely truth in it, they encourage it to discourage people from even voting.
Mm-hmm.
So
it won't matter, right? It won't matter.
It won't matter. Who cares? I'm just going to go fishing that day. Well, that's why we lost two easily winnable seats in Georgia that cost us the Senate, which cost this country trillions of dollars. You know, that you got two Marxist senators in Georgia now, Raphael Warnock and John Ossoff, both hardcore Marxists. And that could have been avoided if Georgia Republicans had actually gone out and voted. They stayed home, and those two Marxists got in by very small percentages. So, yeah, I think it's absolutely imperative that we put everything into voting. And I'm telling you straight, you know, President Trump gets in, there's going to be mass firings, thousands and thousands of these bureaucrats and socialists that have infiltrated the government are going to be fired. We are going to see some real reckoning here. And so I think it is absolutely worthwhile. But here's the other thing. Look, if we lose this upcoming election, this next election won't solve all Americans' problems by any means.
No, it might put a speed bump into the process temporarily.
I think it could be the start of the reversal. But if we lose it, the Democrats are going to legalize 20, 30, 40 million illegal immigrants who will then vote 80% Democrat, and we can never, ever win again. That will be a one-party state from that point. So this is our last shot. So this will be my message on Saturday, that we, you know, with God's grace and the hard work of millions of Americans, we can definitely win this, and we can push the communist agenda back decades. They are freaking out. Because the last few years, you know, the communists were operating by stealth right through the Obama years. People didn't really realize Obama was a communist. But when Trump got in, the deep state, which is basically Marxist, the deep state had to show its hand. And millions of Americans finally got to understand what we're up against. They saw our election stolen. They saw a Chinese-controlled Black Lives Matter organization wreaking havoc across the country. They saw medical tyranny. And they finally realized we could actually lose this country. So if we can win this one, there will be real changes. Maybe not as much as what we would want straight away, but there will be significant changes, mass firings, and there will be court cases against some of these people. And I lay out plans for how we can do this in some of my books. You know, so yeah, look, if we lose this election, it's going to be chaos, worse than anything we've ever seen.
Well, there's probably going to be some chaos one way or the other, Trevor.
Well, if we win, there's going to be chaos in that the left are going to go absolutely ballistic, you know, in that lame duck period. They're going to riot all over the place. So people should be stocking up on food and medicine and generators right now. But to get through that period, that will be the beginning of a return to freedom in America.
I appreciate that, Trevor. Trevor Loudon, once again, is speaking at the Patriots Conference Saturday. He'll be there in Grants Pass, Josephine County Fairgrounds. Starts at 10 o'clock in the morning, and it's going to be a fascinating deal. Go to jocogop.org. Get your tickets, find out more about it, read up on everybody else who's going to be there, too. Before you take off here, Trevor, you have so many books, so many documentaries that you've done in films. What are you probably most proud of that you're going like, it's like, this is almost like all encompassing of everything you've done?
I would say what I'm most proud of is the movie I did, Enemies Within the Church. That's a DVD. Get it from my website or get it from enemieswiththechurch.com. That's a 2-hour documentary on the Marxist infiltration of the evangelical churches, the woke church.
Oh, boy.
Because the enemy decided a long time ago that if they wanted to bring down America, they had to corrupt the churches.
And the churches have emasculated
the churches.
And the churches have been amazingly supine in the revolution, as it were, here, Trevor. And I appreciate you bringing that up. Okay.
Yeah, well, look, if the churches of today were the churches of 1776, the black-robed regiments, you know, the Bible in one hand, and the long rifle in the other, who led that revolution, if they had that spirit today, we'd have very little to worry about. We are losing this battle because the churches are led by cowards who will not stand up for America. And And as I say, I quote James 4:17, "For he who knows the right thing to do but does not do it, for him it is a sin." Every church leader who will not stand up for America is sinning. That's the blunt fact.
TrevorLoudon.com. I will post all the links to everything you're doing there, and looking forward to meeting you Saturday at the Patriots Conference. Thank you for taking a few minutes this morning, Trevor. Be well.
Hey, great, great. Look forward to seeing you, Bill, and all right. My friends in Southern Oregon.
All right.
There's lots of them there. Catch
you on Saturday, jocogop.org, to get your tickets.
Here at American Rancher Garage, we respect and support those individuals who currently or have previously served this great country and our local communities. As a small token of our respect and appreciation for their service, we extend our Heroes discount to all active or veteran military personnel and to our active or retired first responders. There is no way to completely repay your dedication to the protection of our country and communities, but we will do what we can.
The Artisan Bakery Cafe is your go-to for all things delicious. From salad wraps to fresh baked breads and soups, pop by and enjoy a cardamom vanilla latte or peaches and cream white mocha. Delicious taste sensations that can't be beat. Artisan Bakery will make the perfect sandwich or pastry tray for your next event, party, celebration, or occasion. So many fresh baked goodies just waiting for you. Stop by 1325 Center Drive or visit artisanbakerymedford.com. Also, order on DoorDash.
For over 50 years, Siskiyou Pump Service has provided fresh, clean water to Rogue Valley homes from pump to tap. And Siskiyou Pump Service is an exclusive Aqua Systems water filtration distributor. Siskiyou Pump offers a free water test for hardness, iron, pH, and conductivity. And if needed, you'll also get a free no-obligation estimate on new Aqua System filtration and water softeners. There are also monthly incentives to purchase water treatment equipment. Call today for your free water test and no-obligation quote. Visit SiskiyouPump.com.
Hi, this is Glory from Eagle Point. My dad asked me to get a quote for my own auto insurance and suggested I call Steve at Sky Park Insurance. Steve said, in my situation, it would be best to stay on my parents' policy due to my age. Steve did quote my parents, including me and my car, and saved us big time. Great advice, excellent savings. Thanks, Mr. Steve.
Hi, this is Steve at Sky Park Insurance. Every situation is unique. Feel free to call me for a quote or if you just need a little advice. Remember, at Sky Park, we make insurance easy.
Hi, I'm Corey with Patriot Electric, and I'm on KMED and KCMD.
Wow. That's an interesting talk with Trevor. I'm kind of embarrassed. Like I said, I didn't really know much about Trevor before, but I kind of limit. I go to certain people that I've known and met, and I'm going to have to do a little more digging on Trevor, what he's had to say. Can't say that I've disagreed with much of what he may have said there over the last few minutes, okay? We're going to catch him Saturday at the Patriots Conference. Hope you're going to be there, too. It's going to be Wheels Up Wednesday tomorrow. Plenty of conversation. We'll also have more guests that are going to be at that conference, too. Email Bill at BillMeyerShow.com. We'll talk with you tomorrow.
Before you know it, it will be summertime in Southern Oregon. Ensure that you have